And most people are self-aware, like, not self-aware, but they're aware. Like, if their friend says, no, I can keep on gambling. I know that I've, you know, I know that I'm about to, you know, remortgage my home, but I can keep on doing it. It
and
will
I can
be
stop
fine.
Whenever I want.
You just look at them and be like, that's not true. Like, you are going
desire.
To destroy your life.
That's right.
And the same thing with, I can take a little bit of cocaine or I can do a little bit of drugs. You know, I can just, I'm just going to do pot when I'm stressed. Like, you're a fool with no self-awareness.
The lusts of the flesh, which are insatiable. Mm. The deceptive desires.
There is no bottom to that hole if you choose to pursue it.
That's right. Yeah. Ephesians call our sinful desires deceptive.
Because
they promise you, if you give me that, I'll be satisfied. Mm. And then you give it to it and now it's stronger.
Yeah.
And now it desires more. And so you never actually satisfy sinful desires.
When you attack pornography, there'll be so many, oh, actually.
A lot of whataboutisms.
Yeah.
You say porn is not good. Welcome back to another episode of Not For Profits, where we talk about stuff the Bible says, the way it collides with our culture and society, and try and point people to Jesus. And so if somebody sent this to you, then praise God. If you've stumbled upon it, then we talk about what Jesus says and speak about it in a way that people who are not religious, not Christian, not Bible believers will hopefully listen to, be compelled, and believe upon Christ in ways that hopefully encourage Christians. This is my co-host today, my wonderful wife, Joy. The reason any of us listen to this is to get the wisdom from Joy.
Now, I'm hoping the numbers go
on
up.
A bit of a short, a bit of a particular topic, right? Will be a shorter episode than ordinary, but on the topic of pornography.
If you regularly listen with your children and this is not something you want them to hear about.
This is the time to turn it off in the car. So on just this last week, I preached a sermon at our church, Hope Reformed Baptist Church, of which this podcast is an outreach ministry of, on the topic of pornography to address it straightforwardly. It was not an application point of a larger sermon. It was the whole point of the sermon. It is getting increasingly rare that Christians hear a sermon on the topic, on a dedicated sermon to the topic of pornography. Most Christians have just not heard one. Our prayers that it's beneficial for people, lots of good conversations happening, and we just got to be clear where we stand on this theologically, practically, as a church, because this is a day and age, and we're in the country of Australia, so we'll speak to our own statistics and our own culture, but this is a day and age when pornography is everywhere. It is permeating everything, and every household has viewers in it, and so all of us need to be the exception. If we are porn-free households, if we are porn-free church, then it is the 0.01% exception. And by God's grace, we will be that because we have the Holy Spirit. Mm. Any starting out remarks you want to make, Joy?
I think it's interesting how defensive Christians can get about pornography. Mm. When you attack pornography, there'll be so many, actually.
A lot of whataboutisms.
Yeah.
You say porn is not good, but yeah, that's true. Yeah. Darn shame. If you say pornography excludes you from church membership, oh my goodness, what sort of legalistic church is that?
Mm.
If you say, I think that the sexually immoral and those who watch pornography will not inherit the kingdom of God, people go, oh my goodness. You do not know the love of the heart of Christ. Mm. The church should be a hospital for those who are broken. I am at this point just quoting scripture.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 6:9, that the unrighteous, the sexually immoral, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm. And people up in arms. Oh, is it always that bad? Oh, there's exceptions. Oh, well, not every marriage is what it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's way too many whataboutisms and excuses.
Yeah.
And there's... pastorally, I guess, somebody who has watched in the past or who has temptations towards it or who views pornography more often than they should, which is like at all. Mm. Once a month, you know, I've really gotten down the addiction just once a month. No, that's regular and it's deadly. They need to be told, of course, you might be a genuine Christian. Being a genuine Christian, being born again, does not exclude you from any sin except one. The only sin a Christian cannot commit is the sin of apostasy, or the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is also called the unforgivable sin, which is walking away from Christ though you know better. A true born again Christian can never do that. A true born again Christian could still, they've got enough sin still in them to do any sin that's out there. But there really is in Scripture the command to consider people, especially ourselves, who are living with a constant pattern of these sins, to consider them, to consider their profession to be a Christian, though it's possible they're a Christian. When they say, I am a Christian and I regularly watch porn, we are supposed to say, those are not compatible. You need to choose one. And we have no confidence you're one or the other. I have no confidence you're a Christian.
Yeah.
If you watch porn regularly, it's good that you struggle with your assurance. Mm. God doesn't want to give you assurance while you're living in such filth. Mm. But by looking, it doesn't, so in other words, it doesn't mean you necessarily need to get saved. You might be saved, and that's part of the sin, is that you're taking Jesus into this mess. But if you recall the gospel, you go through the promises of Romans 8 and the glories of what Christ has accomplished for you on the cross, and the power that you now have by the Holy Spirit, and the commands that God puts on you. If you understand these holy and you draw near to God, he will draw near to you, and you seek to repent and put these deeds of the flesh to death, you really will make progress. And then you can look at this verse, the sexually immoral, those who are living unrighteously, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you can say, though I'm not what I ought to be, I am not an unrighteous person, because I have the fruits of the Holy Spirit in my life working through me, repentance, that are a sign of being a child of God. So look first to the cross to know where your salvation comes from, because it does not come from your repentance. It comes from Christ, but Christ brings your repentance with him and he will change you. So on the back of all that, or sort of going back into the topic of pornography, Christians must have no, it should be scorched earth. There should be no exception, no tolerance for pornography in the Christian life.
Mm.
And whenever it is, it sneaks in, needs to be outright tearing it up from the roots, scorched earth approach to repenting again. Mm. And of course that's difficult, and you can get in habits and ruts that you need to sort of totally re-engineer in areas of your life. And that's good. You got to go through that. That's a Christian obligation in this kind of world. But it's good to talk about pornography as the stain that it is, because it is so widespread. So widespread.
Do you think one of the reasons pastors don't preach on it is because they don't feel like they can? Because I saw a statistic saying that something like 60% of pastors regularly watch pornography.
Yeah, I think that was a US one. I don't think it'd be better in Australia. I'm just saying. I think so. I remember the study that you're referring to. Yeah, and it said something like, now I don't know the catchment. Was it all?
All pastors of all.
All evangelical. Was it reformed? Was it evangelical? Was it any Christian claiming to be a Christian pastor? But no, you know, no denomination can claim to have some kind of exceptional statistic on that. I think that would probably be right. And that is lower than the general population. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
That is nowhere good enough. You are immediately disqualified from being a pastor if you regularly watch pornography. Yeah.
Pornography is one of those things that is excused by everyone who uses it. There's always an excuse.
Yeah.
And particularly with Christians, it'll be, well, it's not in the Ten Commandments. You know, it says don't commit adultery and I'm not married.
Yeah.
So porn's fine because it's not committing adultery. You know, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of excuses around it. There's a lot of, you'll be amazed by the effect, the positive effect that comes when you stop making an excuse, right? So the first step to repentance is actually stop making an excuse. If you tell yourself, this isn't that bad, I'm still qualified as a pastor, I'm not cheating on my wife, I'm not cheating on my husband. You know, if you make excuses, it breeds more sin.
Yeah.
If you tell to yourself, you're really harsh with yourself with the biblical reality, there is no excuse for this. This is sin. It must stop. This is disqualifying. That mindset in itself, if you have the Holy Spirit, that mindset itself is a powerful resistant and retardant to the desire to go and watch pornography. When you just start with not making excuses, you will actually see that that has a positive effect and impact on your actual obedience levels.
Yeah. And it's like any other sin, you know, as long as it is covered up, it's hidden, which pornography usage always is.
Almost always is. Yeah. A lot of people are out and flagrant with their butt.
But in Christian circles, mainly it's a concealed hidden sin.
Yeah.
It's like any sin where it's like a wound. If you just like slap a Band-Aid over it, it's going to fester. Mm. Part of the accountability of sin and dealing with it. Part of dealing with sin is accountability. You need to get in there, cut it out as painful as it is, clean it out, and that's the only way that you deal with sin. Like, if you try and just keep on putting a Band-Aid over it and covertly deal with it, it is going to keep on coming back.
Yeah.
So
and people always tell themselves, I feel better now. Okay, I'm starting never day gonna one, do it again. Never going to do it again. Yep. I'm sure I've got within myself the power to do so, and they don't.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, you do, because you have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But just look at your own track record. How good are you at staying in step with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Obviously bad. So you need to confess this. You need to tell your pastor. You need to don't join an accountability group of other young guys who share with each other that they're watching porn and then promise each other that it'll be okay.
Yeah. You need genuine accountability from somebody who will keep you in line. Mm. Like not somebody who's going to, you know, oh, poor you, you can't help it. You're a victim to sin. You need somebody who, when you see them, if you feel tempted, you think about, oh, am I going to see this person? And when they see that me, they're going to ask me. So that's the whole point of accountability. You know, it's not just about having something on your phone that blocks it or somebody who, because you'll find a way around it.
Yeah,
or
somebody people who people find a way around accountability partners too. Yeah. It's a but big industry that is
useless. If you want to deal with it,
useless.
You have to do the hard thing of gouging it open and bringing it to the light.
Yeah.
Because all sin does come to the light. It doesn't stay hidden forever.
Yeah. A lot of people think I'll get married and my need for pornography will end. And so I will, you know, those desires will be able to be fulfilled in proper ways and I'll leave my pornography problems behind me. So it's really only a Band-Aid or a bridging mechanism until I get married.
But that's just an excuse. They know it's not true because they know that men still watch, you know, they know that people still watch porn in marriage and they, you know, they see women.
I think it is a bit of a pot.
Reading, you know, smut books at the end as of the well. Rainbow.
They do think once I'm married, like, I mean, I'll just, whenever I have a need, I'll have sex and that'll be fine.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that the desire for intimate, monogamous, faithful sex with your wife or husband is not the same desire as pornography.
Mm.
The desire that your brain and your flesh and your sinfulness is devouring and desiring and engaging in pornography is totally different from marital union and intimacy. Mm. Those two things are totally different.
Yeah.
It's like coffee and cocaine.
Mm.
Having a nice coffee at a cafe with a loved one is
you need the
not an alternative to snorting three lines before work.
Yeah.
Those are totally different lifestyles, different levels of, and they're activating different parts of your brain. Okay, they both wake you up. It's not the same.
Yeah.
And so that is why people go into marriage and they actually, you know, talking in the Christian context, they'll go into marriage and think, oh, I'll leave it behind me. And they'll have regular intimacy but not realize they still desire it so much. Why? Because it wasn't just about being with your wife intimately and faithfully. It was about having the sinful, evil, immoral images, the novel things, searchable, right on you. I mean, it's just an entirely different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
And so those desires are not alternative. They're not going to replace each other. Interchangeable at all. There's other effects. So like it's just so widespread. Some the rates are like 80% plus self-reported. Australian men say there's 80% of them say that they use it regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Now I didn't see one on for women it's much smaller, like 50 to 60%,
mm-hmm.
Which is a staggering statistic generationally, like it never used to be that much. It's all self-reported, right? So you go,
one of the reasons it never used to be that much is because you used to not, like up until our generation, you couldn't have pornography on your phone 24/7.
Yeah.
On a device near you. I mean, you could carry around a sports magazine in your back pocket, but there weren't videos, there were photos. And
one of the biggest porn distributors in the world released data about Australia. It says 25% of its traffic from Australia comes from female accounts.
Yeah.
So that's taking up one quarter. You know, women being one quarter of the porn usage in Australia. That would be staggering for most people who thought, oh, I thought porn was a women's issue. It was a men's issue rather.
Yeah.
Well, it's both. And also women often have porn issues that are not moving images on a screen, but are sometimes romance, fantasy.
Yeah, smut books. Yeah. And it's
erotica.
I feel like smut is so much more like approved by society.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I definitely think there's more of a stigma about visual porn than there is about smut, but which is crazy because some smut books are ridiculous.
No, yeah, they often fantasize rape, bestiality,
yeah,
the sort of stuff that if it was in a
mystical animals, if it was in dragons,
a moving like video porn site, it would be illegal.
Yeah.
It's horrendous and it's normalized because our girls just, you know, funny them or whatever, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It's also more, I guess in some senses, more easily accessible. Mm. If, you know, no, you're not watching a video. Oh, you're just reading a book. You know, that can seem more innocent.
Yeah.
And it just tickles a different part of, the part of the brain that women have as opposed to men, which is more of an emotional build and a slow burn and a romantic stream that, is, you know, takes you, you know, this thread that goes through the whole book that takes you 300 pages to get to the sex scene you've been waiting for. Whereas dudes don't want 300 pages.
Yeah.
They want a quick video right there because the sexual organs and systems that God has designed men and women have are built totally differently. Mm. Men are built for quick, intense releases. Women are built for slow, more deep releases. And but both hugely problematic, both pornography.
So why don't, can you explain why like something like a smut novel, you're not watching anything.
Yeah.
Why that would be. Like, how is that sexual? If you were to explain to somebody who reads smart novels,
So the sin in the Bible is not moving images. The sin explained in the Bible is sexual immorality. But Jesus applies that from the seventh commandment: "Do not commit adultery." Mm. He says that it is not merely the divorcing or splitting up with or cheating on your wife that counts as adultery, but if you look at somebody and lust for them in your heart, then you have committed adultery in the heart. Mm. And so Jesus applies the sin right down to the way that you are thinking about anybody not your spouse. So even your future spouse, nope, they're not your spouse. The only person you're permitted by the law of God to picture, imagine, delight in, think about sexually is your spouse who is yours by covenant because their body is your body to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though you're not watching videos, you're reading a book that's doing the same thing. You're imagining maybe it's a fake character, maybe it's a real person. Probably you're interjecting yourself and that guy from the office or whatever into the story. But regardless, you're engaging in a lustful sexual imagination with somebody other than your spouse.
Mm.
And so that for that reason is, according to Jesus' principles, sexual immorality of the heart.
I heard of this. I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, but the guy, the writer or the pastor or something like that, and he was running like a homemade porn ring in a church. And he was like, it's not sin because it's married people recording what they do.
Yeah, there's pervs in the church
and
too.
They share the videos with each other. And it's not sin because they're married.
Yeah, and it just reminds, so a guy in a church was convincing other guys, usually, you should make videos with your wife and send them into this, we'll have like a database and we can all watch each other's. And because we're all married, we're not watching any fornication happen. That's the sinful thing about porn is that it's fornication. They're not married. But porn with married people is fine. And we can do it to the glory of God.
It's crazy
and it's
a reminder that people make.
The disgusting depths, how Christian somebody can appear to be, he had all these theological reasons why this is fine, how Christian somebody can appear to be while they're still a son of the devil, and how many excuses people can allow themselves to make in order to engage in sexual sin.
Mm.
And you read the book of Proverbs and you see it. And you read the Old Testament stories and you see it. And you read the New Testament warnings and you see it. That nothing will blind your judgment faster and more darkly and deeply than unfettered sexual lust.
Mm.
And so all of us will want to make excuses around it and that we just have to come back to the Bible and allow it to shave off, slice off any excuses that are starting to sprout up and be the bare truth.
Mm.
There's so many, you know, bad effects that come from it. Like, so to speak to the problem, Australia has a massive problem with it. Majority of adults watch it regularly. Higher and higher rates of teenagers each year, they do the study and the polls, higher and higher amounts of teenagers with such susceptible brains learning what sex is and isn't are watching pornography daily.
And younger and younger ages are being exposed to it. Yeah.
And it's getting more and more extreme. Mm-hmm. So that's hugely problematic. There are huge amounts of erectile dysfunction, inability to have sex, performance issues that men have because they are addicted to pornography and cannot enjoy. Their body does not get turned on by their wife or their partner anymore. And so at the like average age of erectile dysfunction medication users in Australia and other countries where there's similar is like going down significantly. Like guys in their 20s and 30s regularly needing these medications.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because they're just used to watching the most – I mean, you can't just scroll on your wife and go, I want you to look like that, do this. No, she's – and, you know, be blonde actually. No, that's what porn trains you into thinking is just a la carte sexuality, whereas monogamous sex trains you into fidelity and faithfulness and love of one who is your actual wife, into covenantal kind of thinking. So, but yeah, so that's a massive problem. There's like genuine health defects that are coming from those studies in 2021, 2016, that are confirming all that stuff, which is ridiculous, as well as a decreased sex life, which is part of what's leading to the whole incel movement and just more and more people opting out of romance. Now, as a Christian, we're like, good, people aren't fornicating as much. That's good because they're incels. But it's not good because it's not repentance. It's just sexual morality in a different way. They're often watching porn or just pleasing themselves in their own way, in their own basement.
One of the things that I think drives that incel movement, I don't know if it's a movement, but the incel
growth, infection.
Sure. Is that for literally for decades, there have been studies done that show that when men relate to women, the more they are clothed, the more clothes a woman wears, when a man talks to them or associates them or looks at them, the part of the brain that identifies human beings, other people lights up, like when they talk to men. The less clothes a woman wears, the more that
the more skin she's showing.
The more skin she's showing, the more the part of their brain that identifies objects is lit up more often, which this is why we use the term objectifying, turning a woman into an object instead of a human being. And I think that if men and young men are mainly exposed to objectified images of women, they stop thinking of them as human beings.
So those
beings.
Studies showed like that's how the male brain works.
Yes, yeah.
So it when women objectify themselves by showing loads of skin, they're synchronizing with the hacking the male's brain to not think of them as a person, but to think more of them as an object.
Yes, so that's right. And this should go a long way as to how you parent your children, especially girls, telling your girls wear more clothes. You know, it doesn't matter that she's 6 years old. She shouldn't be wearing a bikini. She, you know, parents will be like, oh, she's just a kid. She doesn't have anything to show. It doesn't matter. Like, you should still be protecting your child.
Don't objectify
this is how,
my kid. I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah.
People are.
Yeah. You don't, your 6-year old doesn't need to show her midriff. It's
defending
just not, them. You know, something she needs to do.
And they, but you're saying, but then that reality gets way worse when guys are watching loads of porn.
Well, yeah. So if say a nervous, shy guy who doesn't normally talk to girls, well, he can just watch porn instead to get sexual, he doesn't have to talk to girls. Whereas in the, you know, 70s, 60s, 80s, yeah, if you wanted sex, you talked to girls. That's how you got it, unless you were gay. And so now they're not being forced to do that. They can just look at pornography. But then the only interaction they're having with women is objectified images.
Yeah.
And so they start seeing women only as objects, and they start hating them because the objects won't just talk to me. You know, the objects won't just give me sex because that's what they're there for. Yeah. And I think that's a big part of
That's a part of the incel mindset. Yeah. now, incel is just bad for society, bad for people, bad for the dominion mandate God gave us. It's a blight, right? it's not a solution. Yeah, less fornication is not a solution to sexual immorality because they're sexual immorality in another manner. Mm. And so getting in when the gospel takes root and revives our nation, what we will expect to see and what you'll see is not people having less sex. When revival hits a place, when people get converted, they get way more, way better sex. But because they repenting of immorality, committing themselves to godliness, getting married, and then having great sex. Mm. That's the way. That is the way. That's the way we're meant to live. God's design, his plan is best. And the brain science, the interactions, the connections that you have, male to female, are vastly more healthy with people who are walking that way than destroying themselves in the other way. You also get, spoke about this on Sunday, but the more somebody watches porn and the longer they watch porn or read porn and stuff, the more they engage in that, the more extreme they want it to be because they need bigger highs to feel the same.
Yeah, it's like any
addiction.
Yeah.
And what the Bible calls the lusts of the flesh, which are insatiable, deceptive desires.
There is no bottom to that hole if you choose to pursue it.
That's right. Yeah. Ephesians call our sinful desires deceptive.
Because
they promise you, if you give me that, I'll be satisfied. Mm. And then you give it to it and now it's stronger. Yeah. And now it desires more. And so you never actually satisfy sinful desires.
We actually know somebody who worked in a clinic where they would give methadone to people.
Yeah.
To help treat their opioid addictions and stuff.
Yeah.
And they said to me that, you know, we have guys coming in who are taking enough, drugs to kill an elephant.
Mm.
But, because they're so addicted to it. And
we
were nurses.
We knew how much fentanyl you meant to give somebody, like a fraction of a mil.
Yeah, yeah.
In these tiny little syringes.
Yeah.
And they said something about like milliliters of fentanyl, milligrams of fentanyl a day. You have to have the maths wrong. That is impossible. That would kill 20 people in a moment.
Yeah.
Because they're on it daily.
Yes.
Like, how does that happen? And it happens. So the progressive
And people with opioid addiction, I'll just say this, not necessarily bad people. A lot of people get into opioid addiction from like having an injury, but the body becomes, what is it called? The body becomes increases the tolerance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you need more and more and more to dull the same amount of pain that, a little bit used to do. And that's exactly the same thing with, and he said to me, quote, they were taking enough to kill an elephant, right? And that's what can happen with, you think that it won't happen. That's what happens with uncontrolled sexual
immorality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You feed that lust. It only, because it always wants more, it always wants worse. And the trends that you usually see is that the videos they watch get more violent. So it goes from consensual cute stuff to rape and abuse and bondage. And it goes from, it also gets younger.
Mm.
Women who are younger and depicting characters that are younger and younger and younger and younger, more and more innocent, right? Because that's what the inward pornographic desire of sexual immorality wants. It's not simply for a satisfaction, but is for a destruction of the pure, is for a consuming of the innocent. It's much often just as much about power as it is about getting a climax. And so subjects often become younger, depicting younger and younger models, and then unrestrained addiction leads to a population that has a large number of its percentage of its constituents addicted to child abuse material. And in the latest count, Australia is the third ranking country in the world per capita for child abuse material being watched online. And Australia, people have known for a long time that the eastern borders of Australia are a hotbed for Westerners doing sex tourism into Philippines, into the Pacific, into Thailand, into Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos. That's a blight on our nation, that people do that very frequently. And that's a big problem. But child abuse material is it's out there, and more people will watch it the more people watch porn, because it's just at the end of the that's what's at the end of the rainbow. And so that's a massive problem.
Yeah.
And in need for national repentance. It's a national repentance, but in Australia has a big problem with that. Then it also leads to sexual violence.
Mm.
Rapists are often people who have had sexual, sorry, pornographic interests and addictions.
Well, that's what Ted Bundy said. He started looking at his dad's, you know, pornography magazines when he was like a child, like eight or so years old. And then he started...
And found him at the old newspaper stand and then...
Yep. And then he started getting worse and worse to the point where he... I think he like murdered a whole heap of girls in a sorority house was the last thing he did. Mm. Which, yeah, it just... But that,
he was a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he admitted I just couldn't get the highs enough and so I needed to do something in person.
Yeah.
And he would, kidnap, rape and kill people.
Yeah.
And, so... Again, like pedophilia and often homosexuality. Let's just make that claim. Often homosexuality and other perversions are the end of the road of or just a result of a lot of pornographic addiction and a lot of pornographic abuse and the sort of stuff they watch. They form this stuff in their mind. They go, now even heterosexual sex or now even consensual or now even somebody of legal age, it's not getting me to the same ways.
Yeah.
And people pursue it. And often guys because it then becomes something that they pursue and live out then in a lifestyle. and so, so in other words, there's no safe amount that you can consume.
That's like the proverb. Is it in Proverbs? Can a man hold coals on his chest and not get burned?
Yeah. Can a man carry coals?
Yeah.
It's like picturing somebody who, I need some fire in my kitchen. I'll go out to the yard, get some of the fiery coals, bring them inside.
Yeah.
Could you like heap them in your shirt quickly to take them inside, pour them off into the kitchen fire and then say, oh, what? My shirt's burned. My chest is now burned.
Yeah.
That surprise would immediately elicit mockery from anybody watching. Of course that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's the same with
porn.
Can you do that and not bringing that into your mind, not create a monster of sinful depravity that you you're not even aware that you are capable of that.
And most people are self-aware, like not self-aware, but they're aware. Like if their friend says, "No, I can keep on gambling. I know that I know that I'm about to, you know, remortgage my home, but I can keep on doing it. It
and
will
I can
be
stop
fine."
Whenever I want.
You just look at them and be like, "That's not true. Like you are going to destroy your life."
That's right.
And the same thing with I can take a little bit of cocaine or I can do a little bit of drugs. You know, I'm just gonna do pot when I'm stressed. Like you're a fool with no self-awareness. Mm. You are a cautionary tale. You're not the exception. Yeah. And that's the same thing with Christians who use pornography. You think that you're going to think that I'm the exception, you know, it's all going to get better when this and this, I'm just stressed right now, or my wife is away right now, or, you know, I'm single right now. But you can't carry coals on your chest and not get burned.
And that's why Paul says it multiple times. Do not be deceived.
Mm.
Don't you remember that I told you the sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God? He has to tell them that because we are likely to be deceived, not by the gay rights activists or by the Pornhub propaganda, but by yourself.
Yes,
you're going to make exceptions for yourself. And on the last day say, I know I had an ongoing addiction, but that was, and I tried really hard, God. And I felt really bad for it. I wept a lot.
Mm.
But I'm sure I was a Christian. And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Mm.
Because feeling bad for and crying about and wishing you could stop and wanting to stop, that is not something you have to be a Christian to have. That's not repentance.
Mm.
Christian is somebody who actually repents. And actual change is what repentance is.
Yeah.
No longer doing what you used to do. That's what repentance is. Mm. That only comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you can and you must change. And Jesus says, don't be deceived. Don't allow yourself to be the exception in your mindset. Just change.
Yeah.
Jesus is powerful and helps people and gives people the power to walk away from these sorts of sins.
Absolutely.
Christians who have gotten themselves locked into pornographic habits have been set free by Jesus. Mm. He's not weaker when it comes to you.
Yeah.
He can do it with you as well. You weren't exposed too young, got too addicted, got yourself in too much, I don't know, problems around the situation.
You don't have ADHD that, you know, makes you hypersexual and you have no choice.
Yeah, that's not an excuse. You don't have, you know, your autism is not an excuse. You know, your trauma is not an excuse.
You're not hardwired that way.
No.
There's nothing that the Holy Spirit can't do.
Absolutely.
The Holy Spirit can absolutely. That's one of the promises of God and of Scripture, is that God will give you the power to be made, you know, righteous and holy and sanctified.
Yeah. That's why it's such a big issue. When people say I'm helpless against this, or I'm just addicted, or it's not that, you know, bad, or don't demand that I change. The ultimate problem with what I hear you saying is I don't look down on them as if, you're a Christian who could fall into that. How pathetic. Mm. I'm not like it. No, all of us are like this, mate. We all have the same inherent fixation on sin without the grace of God. We know this. Yeah. No one's looking down on you. But what you're doing is blaspheming God, saying he's not powerful enough to do this in me, or the Holy Spirit is not sufficient, or the Christians needed the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and that was enough for them. Oh, but I'm exceptional. You know, I won't get holy until resurrection.
Oh, this is a thorn in my flesh, you know.
Nah,
I'm always going to be struggling with it.
Yeah, and that is why Paul takes it to that very, you know, in 1 Corinthians 5, he says, the sins that you're committing in your body in the sexual immoral way is a Christological heresy. You are taking Christ into that behavior. You are joining Christ with your spirit into this
sexual
kind of behavior.
Immorality,
this is you're not just sinning against yourself.
Mm.
You are sinning against yourself, but you're sinning against the Christ who is in you, and you're claiming that he's not powerful, that he's not sufficient, that he's not worthy of having a holy vessel. And so every Christian must ensure that this is something their life is free from. Be the exception in our generation.
Mm.
Be an actual Christian. And I think if we saw that, we will see a good dose of revival. Can you imagine if every Christian had this off of their conscience, was not using their time or their internet connection doing this?
Yeah.
How much the Holy Spirit would move in
his
people.
Not to mention how less productive Christians become when they're navel-gazing because they're so sad about the sin they've committed. Yep. They feel like they can't go to church. They can't show their face in church. God knows what they did. You know, it needs to be at least 2 weeks before they show up to church again because they're in so much sin. Like, the amount of productivity, you have so much more productivity as a Christian when you have a clean conscience.
Mm.
When you know that you're right with God, you are so much more productive because you're not held back by, you know, what the devil loves to see you do is mope about your own sin and your own unrighteousness.
It's a double victory. He made you sinned, but he also gets you not charged in his kingdom because you feel bad about what you did.
Yeah,
so it's a double victory for him and a double loss for yourself and a double degradation of the glory of God.
Mm.
And so God has given us way too much to do. The Great Commission is too urgent. There are too many souls perishing. The gospel is way too powerful a weapon. Mm. And there's just too much to do for you to be walking around navel gazing, sad about the images you can't stop looking at or the books you can't stop reading.
Yeah.
Buckle up with the truth of God.
Mm.
Righteousness is a breastplate, sword of the Spirit in hand. You need a clean conscience, the glory of God, so that you can obey him in his Great Commission.
Yeah.
Well, again, there's lots more that we could say. Lots more to say on it.
Mm.
It's not the final word, but it's we pray that by God's grace, it's helpful for some. It is it's a wake up for some.
Yeah.
And it enables people to fix what they need to fix in their life in order to be more consistent, God-glorifying Christians.
Yeah. And if you're a Christian who regularly looks at porn, it's time to stop making excuses. You know, get some accountability, flee from temptation, you know, do whatever you can. Talk to somebody that you trust who will keep you accountable. Who won't just pat you on your back and feel sorry for you, but somebody who will keep you accountable and somebody who will take, you know, actions against you, you know.
Go to church regularly and start being more afraid of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
All righty. This has been another episode. Thanks for being with us, Joy.
My pleasure.
Thanks for joining us, guys. It would be very helpful for us getting the word out there about Jesus if you guys like and subscribe and send this to somebody who you think would benefit. And keep sending us your suggestions. Keep dropping comments on our stuff. And we're so honored that you would listen in. And we're thankful to God that he uses what we're saying. So catch you later. See you next episode.